Prosecutors say Deutsche Bank helped thousands of clients avoid paying billions in taxes to the IRS.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The German financial giant Deutsche Bank has agreed to pay more than $500 million to settle a tax evasion case here in the United States. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our bureau in London with the latest. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So we're talking about clients here. Which ones and when was this going on?
Well, they were clients of accounting firm KPMG. And back in the 1990s, KPMG, with Deutsche Bank's help, sold these people illegal tax shelter schemes. KPMG has paid almost $500 million in fines already for this. Now it's Deutsche Bank's turn.
What kind of scale are we talking about, Stephen? How big a deal is this?
Oh, huge. I mean, Deutsche Bank has admitted involvement in at least 1,300 dodgy deals. It's reckoned that U.S. citizens, as a result, evaded almost $6 billion in taxes. Most of that money has now been recovered from the taxpayers concerned.
Does this settlement close the book on these tax evasion stories?
Well, I've been talking to somebody called Richard Murphy, who runs an anti-tax evasion group here, and he says we've probably seen the end of these really big, blatantly unlawful schemes sold by big banks and accounting firms. And certainly Deutsche Bank is likely to keep its nose clean for the foreseeable future.
I think $553 million, which I suspect is the biggest ever fine imposed with regard to a tax case in the world, is some significant measure of deterrence, even for a bank as big as Deutsche Bank.
But he concedes, like death and taxes, some form of tax evasion is inevitable.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
There's a new global survey that shows even the world's richest economies don't necessarily feature the planet's happiest people. The research looked at 53 countries all around the world, and the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports there could be a connection between where a place is going and where it's been.
The joint Gallup International and Wind poll asked 64,000 people how optimistic they feel about next year. Things like personal well-being, job security, and how well the economy will fare. People who live in wealthy countries like the USA, Germany, the UK and Japan are markedly more gloomy than those in the economic powerhouses of the future, including India and Russia. Bronwyn Curtis is the head of global research at HSBC and says it's all got to do with your outlook.
We're thinking growth doesn't look good, the tax man's going to take more of it, and so you're not as happy. Whereas if you're sitting in China, which is growing at 8 or 9 or 10%, then of course you see the prospects are much brighter.
And that's reflected in some of the striking differences. Just 3% of French people interviewed thought 2011 would be prosperous, compared to more than half of people asked in China. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Here in this country later today, we're going to get the final revision of how much the U.S. economy grew in the third quarter and a report on sales of previously owned homes. Ahead of those figures, global investors are keeping things pretty subdued. Markets in Europe are flat at the moment, and Asia shares were mixed. Wall Street yesterday, stocks rose more than 0.5%. The Dow tacked on 55 to end the day at 11,533. The Dow and S&P 500 rose to their highest level in 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
This holiday, stores are full of bright new gadgets and sweaters and shiny jewelry. And then there are some gifts you'll perhaps be looking for your eco-minded friends. Marketplace's Adrian Hill now from the Sustainability Desk. And how to spot green from greenwashing when you're buying those presents.
I'm here at the Century City Mall in Los Angeles with Jessica Lass from the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Hi there.
Hi. And we're here at this mall where they're encouraging us to buy our way into happy holidays. The question is, can we do that and stay green? What do you think?
I think there are possibilities out there, but definitely buyer beware on a few items.
Let's go see what we find.
Okay.
We spot a lot of clothes made in China, a lot of plastic toys, not a lot that would count as green. The rhinestone Hello Kitty, you think?
Yeah, You know, probably not.
Some companies try to help out eco-minded shoppers by slapping green labels on products. At the Origins counter, they're selling plastic water bottles and are promising to plant a tree. But Lass wonders, where are they planting those trees? Is the plastic safe for drinking out of? Will it last? Actual green shopping requires a whole lot of questions and skepticism of environmental claims. Some of them don't mean what you think they do and are rarely enforced.
So it's important when you see language that appears to be loose.
Scott McDougall heads TerraChoice, a group that released a report called The Sins of Greenwashing.
To see if the manufacturer, the marketer, or the store is providing a good explanation of exactly what they mean.
The word eco, McDougall points out, describes our ecology, which includes things like oil and petroleum.
Natural is a good example. There are plenty of things that are natural that aren't necessarily good for us. Arsenic and lead and cyanide and mercury are all natural.
The important thing, he says, is to dig into the green claims. Don't dismiss them. Seek them out, but try to understand them better. Back at the mall, Jessica Lass comes up with another way to give green that doesn't require as much investigation.
I mean, you can take a friend out for dinner and spend a few hours catching up, reminiscing about the year, or really just, you know, sharing your time with them.
Sounds a little nicer than fighting crowds at the mall. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, more than a third of people in Britain say they've snuck a peek at their Christmas presents. The website insurestore.com reports 37% of Brits say they've at least peeked through wrapping paper, or they've unwrapped the gift altogether, only to later wrap the gift back up. But a similar survey out earlier this month in the United States reported only 14% of people here admitted to trying to identify those presents, which means one of two things: either Brits are more curious, or Americans are less truthful. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Retailers, they'll try anything to keep you coming back and keep you buying more. Sure, there are the super sales and gimmicks, but they're also doing something a lot simpler.
We're returning to civility, courtesy, and a way of, you know, actually honoring customers that has seemed far too absent, I think, for the last 20 years.
I'm Tess Vigeland. It's the return of the thank you. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.